that on the members of the committee right on the agenda. Thank you for highlighting that, Honorable Tuselo. Thank you. Our guest part of the meeting was the delegation from PSC.
Good morning, Chairperson. The lady that I was communicating with yesterday, I did send her an email to let me know who will be leading the delegation, but they did not respond, Chair. But I can see there's Mr. Mavuso and Mr. Mbele. Maybe they will give us guidance, Chair.
Okay. I think we must start then. There are members of the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and Infrastructure present in the meeting. The delegation from PSC, we invited the board and the team from PSC. The team that assists this Portfolio Committee from Parliament, and all those that are watching our Portfolio Committee meeting today, good morning. This meeting was necessitated by a research that was done by PSC and also an invitation that we honored as the Portfolio Committee to present our views on a meeting that was held last year in November. We went there as the Portfolio Committee of Public Works and Infrastructure because we are the custodian of the many buildings that are out there that accommodate other departments, specifically for service delivery. So we went there and raised our views. And as such, we also appreciate the research that has been done and welcome the research that has been done by PSC. They have sent it to us. We know that PSC is one of those institutions that are there in our constitution because they support democracy. It is a Chapter 10, not a Chapter 9 institution. It provides guidance on public service and assists to ensure improved public services to the people of South Africa. The roundtable and the research gives an improved picture of the challenges faced to accommodate the departments that provide services to the people of South Africa. The Department of Public Works and Infrastructure and PMTE, that as this portfolio committee we are oversighting, has to work harder to improve the weaknesses that have been highlighted by the research and also the maintenance, something that as this portfolio committee, we have said several times and raised it with the executive, that is the minister, deputy minister, acting DG, of how they are providing accommodation, of how they are sometimes failing to do maintenance, only responding when there has been a challenge. But because we have invited PSC here, we will allow them to present to us their findings. On those few words, I again welcome you, PSC. And before I hand over to you, I invite our acting secretary to present the apologies, if we have any, for today's meeting.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. Chairperson, I have only received one apology from Honorable Alexander. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Honorable Mr. Lwazi. Honorable Members, are there any apologies that may have been sent to you directly? In the absence of any apologies, I now invite PSC to present, and I would like to the presenter, maybe this will be introduced by the member of the board, also introduce to us the delegation. Thank you so much. Over to you.
Thank you, and good morning, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, and apologies that we are delayed slightly. I'm standing in just for a short while for the lead commissioner for the flagship project, which is Commissioner Professor Mandla Makanya. He's just struggling with connectivity at the moment, Honorable Chairperson, but he will join us. We do support one another on the flagships. Honorable Chairperson, thank you very, very much for this opportunity to allow the PSC to present on this very important flagship on accommodation. To perhaps just start off with a prelude, we as the PSC, as you know, conduct qualitative and quantitative inspections and research. And arising from the years of research, we were able to put together our concerns about accommodation and things that we need to expedite and recommendations we need to make as an oversight organization in order to be able to overcome challenges in our country with regards to a state accommodation. And so what was decided is that we make this a flagship project of the Public Service Commission, and we then did some background research. And we followed up with a round table, which was hosted by the Public Service Commission, and where members of the Portfolio Committee were invited also, and various leaders of government, as well as the experts and the operational teams from around the country. And we also did a direct bilateral briefing with the Portfolio Committee Chairperson in preparation for that round table. Arising from the discussions of the round table, we were able to put together a very solid report. And the presentation today, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, is to navigate ourselves and bring you on board through the whole roadmap of this flagship project and where we are now, and to present it as our as our oversight agency. We report to the National Assembly, and obviously, in the spirit of our activities, we must bring this to your attention. I'm hearing Professor Makanya, Commissioner Makanya, I'm hearing your voice. I'm hoping that you have been able to log in before we hand over to the operational team.
Yes, I've succeeded to log in. Thank you so much, Commissioner. Yes,
I will then now exit. Thank you, Commissioner Makanya. I'll hand over to you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Honorable Chairperson and honorable members. We really appreciate the opportunity, and my apologies on my side. I was just delayed by the taxi that had to bring me over to the university where our conference is running. But as Commissioner Bakas has indicated, Honorable Chairperson, this is a project that, in our view, once it is up and running in terms of its completion, there will be a huge kind of impact in a positive sense of the word on the question of ourselves as a country. To move forward in this particular instance. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, you will recall that at the time when we had started with this project, the concerns that had been raised, which primarily, you know, were the drivers of the manner in which we went about doing this work, was one on the question of infrastructure integrity concerns that have been raised, that there was poor management of buildings, that there was also poor maintenance, but coupled with that, the question of contract management, you know, which was viewed as being poor and thus resulting, you know, in some challenges when it came to relationships, you know, with the landlords. So in the midst of those particular challenges, you know, we then, as we're coming together, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, sought to bring the team from CSIR, you know, as Commissioner Buckers has indicated, because we needed to have, you know, in our midst, professionals, you know, who are well-versed in this particular sophisticated field, you know, that have to do with the built industry, you know, the architects, you know, the land surveyors and so on, so that as we're reflecting on this matter, you know, and doing the work, that we're going to do the right things in the process and not necessarily find ourselves, you know, missing out in some of the areas. Now, the main reason of actually having started with the roundtable was to ensure that we could then create a platform where we could share knowledge, you know, and lessons learned, where we could then use that platform as an opportunity of collaborating amongst the stakeholders and role players who are involved in this particular area of work. And then the questions that had to be then addressed had to do primarily with the question of service delivery, and then how to address the whole notion of the critical issues that were affecting us in this particular domain. So having said that, then Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, we had succeeded, you know, with that roundtable. Honourable Chairperson, we were very excited about that. You were present and did the opening of that particular session. And post that particular activity, we have already prepared this comprehensive report that we have submitted, already reflected with the former minister on the content of that specific report with a view of ensuring that the work can then get underway from the side of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And we have also succeeded to have an opportunity with the new minister, Honourable Zikalala, who's taken over in that portfolio. So the exciting part that I just wanted to mention before we can start with the presentation, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, is that we are very excited about that what the department, with the leadership of the minister, have done is to then begin to integrate the results that are coming out of this particular work that we've been doing into their own project planning. So which means that on their APP, as they were presenting to us, you know, when we visited them in the last few weeks, we're very excited to find that now this work is actually going to be taking off in a manner that is going to be taking us forward, you know, as a country. So the reports then are not going to be operating on the sidelines, but in an integrated fashion with a specific type of work. The beauty of how they have tackled it, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, is that they have taken our report, coupled it with the report of those shortcomings that have been raised also by the Auditor General, so which we found to be working extremely well, because in our case we had brought together all our oversight bodies as part and parcel of the work that we'd been doing. So with that kind of background, and Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, we wanted to say that we are going to be then asking our Deputy Director General, Ms. Irene Matenjwa, to do the presentation. And of course, we are present for the discussion and to also fill in the questions. Our commissioners have joined us. I know that the chairperson, Commissioner Prof. Figeni, was going to be part and parcel of the process as well. It's just that I struggled to communicate with him this morning, but I do know that he'll be part of this. And all our commissioners who could make it have joined us, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prof, and also words of gratitude to Commissioner Yasmin, who hold the fort while you were in the taxi. Then we will then look forward to the presentation that will be done by the Deputy Director General.
Very good morning, Honorable Chair. This flagship project was undertaken within the branch that I lead. Chairperson, if you can allow me also just to introduce my colleagues that are in attendance with me here. I've got the Chief Director, Ms. Carmen Domingo Swart. I've got Mr. Martin Chale. I also have Dr. Ndoda Nandleya. This is the team that worked on this project. Whilst I'm waiting for my colleague Nosy Piwo to flag the presentation, I want to take the opportunity just to thank Commissioner Bacchus and Commissioner Makanya for the context provided to the Portfolio Committee in terms of the work that was conducted by the Commission and where we came from and the journey and so on. So, Nosy Piwo, are you succeeding in flighting the presentation?
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, DG. I'm trying to DG, but can Lwazi allow me? Because I've been trying to flag to flight, but I'm not sure if it can be seen.
Good morning. I have given you rights, co-host rights.
Honorable Chair, in the meantime, through you, if I can request Mr. Lwazi also to share those rights with Ms. Carmen Domingo Swart so that we troubleshoot from different angles. Oh, okay, there we are. It seems like we are winning. Thank you very much, colleagues. My apologies again once more, Honorable Chair, for that glitch. The presentation is now showing on the screen. And I think we can move to the next slide. So we'll be presenting, obviously, to the Portfolio Committee on the work that we have done around functional accommodation, working with DPWI and other stakeholders. So in terms of the outline of the presentation, we will just highlight quite briefly on the background and the objectives and the rationale for the study, why the PSC thought it necessary to go into this area of work. We'll also talk about, stakeholder engagements that we had prior and after we conducted the study. And then we'll talk about the roundtable itself and what were some of the findings, as well as the solutions approach and recommendations. And then, Honorable Chair, we'll close with conclusion and way forward. So I think as we all aware, the Public Service Commission does a lot of work around maybe service delivery inspections, we do investigations and research and so on. So in doing this kind of work, we have got the opportunity to visit government departments. And in some instances, we visit frontline service delivery points We also visit offices as such. And these are some of the things that we picked up when we engaged with citizens on the ground, with staff and with everyone, that there are some inefficiencies in the functional accommodation of government, which really impacts negatively on service delivery. So that was the point, really, that the PSC thought, let's take a moment, go into this space and really find out what are some of the issues and how can we really intervene in this space. So from this slide, you will see that we're just highlighting broadly the three areas that the area of functional accommodation in as far as its inefficiencies, you know, manifest in. The first one being the huge asset portfolio of about approximately 90,000 that is generally aging and mostly dilapidated. That is just on the condition of our immovable asset. And then secondly, it's the incomplete and fragmented immovable asset register manifesting in incorrectly vested buildings. The second issue in terms of those three key areas is the issue around lease planning and management. Then there we are saying that the lease arrangements have got poor specifications that do not address the needs. So we have got lack of fit for purpose or fit for service kind of buildings that we are leasing. Also, the over-reliance on the private sector on leasing in of accommodation with huge government spending going to the so-called top 10 landlords, who are thus the ones that are really controlling the market in the space of functional accommodation. And the last one that we really reflect on is the institutional capacity and culture in the space of, you know, the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And what we're saying is that there is leadership instability, a lot of changes that are taking place there, which impacts negatively on strategic and policy direction of the department. We must indicate that lately we have seen that a number of posts, particularly DG and DDGs, have been advertised, and I think processes have started in terms of filling those posts, which is a move in the right direction. But also very important here, it's just the lack of customer centricity in client satisfaction, dissatisfaction. So it needs to be understood that DPWI is not your typical government department. This is a department that is really running a business on behalf of other government departments, but it doesn't seem to come across to them in terms of the culture, the ethos, and the way of doing business from the department, that they have to be, you know, customer-centric. So as we move to the next slide, Chairperson, we're just really also giving further information in terms of how these things are seen in this space. So you'll see that there are systemic challenges in property and facilities. I'm not going to touch on all of them. I'll touch on few, and then we'll touch on the turnover of critical skills in that space and performance as well. So on the challenges in the property and facility space, the issue is the inappropriate organizational structure of the department makes it difficult for them to deliver. You know, there's a department, also there is a trading entity, but even with the development of that trading entity, we don't see the benefit that was intended with the establishment of such. So the lack of skilled property professionals is a problem. This is within the department, but also within government departments. Those that are charged with facilities management in various government departments really do not come with the right expertise, knowledge, and so on to work with public works and to also work with landlords in terms of really articulating what we need and the service delivery models and so on. So it's an area, perhaps, as we're talking about the professionalization of the public service that we highlighted to DPWI, that they need to pay attention to. The issue of inaccurate inventory of our assets is a big issue in terms of where are these assets, how, what is the condition of these assets, and so on. And the lack of IT systems really to manage the large amount of data that is sitting regarding our inventory of assets is also a problem. Lack of client accountability, I think I've spoken to client centricity. Maintenance backlog is a problem, but also inefficient management and administration of leaseholds. On the critical skills, if you look into the right-hand side of that slide, Again, the DPWI or functional accommodation infrastructure is a highly specialized skill. So we do need public administrators, but in addition to that, we do need your engineers, your architects, and so on and so on, people who really understand the space. And in here, we're just highlighting the turnover rate in terms of those occupations. And you can see that in terms of architecture, town and traffic planners for 2021-2022, the latest that we have, you know, 38%, civil engineering technicians, 51%, very high, engineers and related professionals, 27%, quantity surveyors and related professionals in that department, 6.7%, and mechanical engineering and technicians, 75%. Now, it's an area where we are also competing with the private sector, and it is important that we put measures in place to be able to attract the best skills, but also to make sure that they stay in the system if we are really to succeed in executing the mandate of the DPWI. On performance, you can see just on 2021-2022, the picture is also not looking good there. And largely it's around the real estate management and the facilities management services in terms of achievement of targets. They were really struggling there, but also in terms of spending the budget again, you see that the very same two areas of work spend their budgets. And when we look into the annual report, there wasn't really substantive a motivation to say why was the budget spent to that level of 97%, 91% when the targets have not been achieved. Was there anything else outside of the planned targets that was done that could have resulted in the expenditure of the budget than what was planned for? So that wasn't coming out quite strongly from the annual report when we did that analysis. Now, coming back again, Chairperson, to the rationale of the study, we really wanted to review the entire ecosystem of the provision of functional accommodation, not just DPWI, but also other stakeholders that have got a role to play here, so we can see where are the challenges, who's supposed to do what, and so on. And the roundtable as such was a methodology, as Commissioner Bakas and Commissioner Makanya has also indicated that there was some research that we did. So the roundtable was a part of the methodology to gather information in one room with all the stakeholders really represented to come up with short, medium, and long-term solutions towards service improved service delivery. So the specifics really for the study were to see how DPWI is really organized in terms of executing its mandate, identify the challenges that are experienced by government departments, but also to see what interventions can be put in place to really deal with this matter. And this area of work is something that all government departments, when we went to them and really tried to understand why are you not providing services to the citizens in the manner that is required, one of the things that they would say is that we are not housed in a proper building for us to do this kind of work. And are you engaging with DPWI? And the answers would be like, we're engaging with DPWI, but they're not coming back to us. There are frustrations, so on and so on. And some of them will talk about them as we go along. So very important in conducting this study, Chairperson, we held various consultations. And first and foremost was with the DPWI. We met with the former minister and the former DG to explain the intentions of the PSC and what work we'll be doing in that space and what cooperation and buy-in that we needed from them. And we were well received as the PSC to say, please come and help us in this space. We obviously engaged with the presidency. There is an infrastructure unit there also that is responsible for area of, you know, the built environment in the country. So we needed to bring them on board. AGSA is our partner. It's the institution supporting democracy from Chapter 9 institutions. So we work with them at all times. They also give us information in terms of the audits and the control measures that are put in place for various areas of work. So they also assisted us in terms of what are their observations in this space. The National Treasury, obviously, in terms of sound financial controls. The DPME from an executive oversight of the public service, and also based on previous evaluations that they've conducted. And I must say with pleasure that Chairperson, we did engage with your good self, and we informed the committee through the chairperson to say that we're doing this kind of work, and we really appreciate the attendance of the chairperson during the roundtable and the support to the Public Service Commission, but also to this space of work that we are doing. Obviously, we had other pre-engagement sessions with the DPWI, and what we did before we went to the roundtable, we identified few departments that seem to be really struggling quite a lot. Not that others are not struggling, but when you go to Home Affairs, we see these things really manifesting quite openly. The South African Police Service, the Justice and Constitutional Development, Water and Sanitation. So we had a mini session of a peer working group just to drill down, to really understand what are some of the nitty-gritties, what are some of the challenges before we went into the bigger roundtable. And I must say the roundtable then brought in together all those that are responsible for functional accommodation. So in all the national departments in one room, but we also made sure that officials coming from those departments that have indicated that also there, because they gave us a little bit of insight as we were preparing for the roundtable. So we invited as well the Mpumalanga and the Western Cape Provincial Departments. I think, as we all are aware, the DPWI is responsible in terms of its mandate to provide a functional accommodation to national departments, to the extent that that will also take place even at regional or at provincial for as long as it's a national department. Where else, for those departments that are provincial, there are provincial kind of like DPWIs. But we wanted to also learn from the provinces in terms of what are some of the operations. Is there something to learn from them, Mpumalanga and Western Cape? So they were part of the national roundtable. And there we're just really outlining some of the expected outcome of the roundtable, which I must gladly say that this were met in terms of identifying the critical areas in the functional accommodation with clear commitments, not only from DPWI, but from departments as well, because during the engagements, there were certain things that were raised by DPWI as also frustrations from departments that needed to be attended to. As I said earlier on, the bringing in of other provinces was to share knowledge and lessons and compare, you know, notes as such, and create an opportunity for collaboration among stakeholders and role players. I did say earlier on, Chairperson, that this is an area that is really not professionalized. In departments, you find a facilities manager being someone that has got just metric and so on. So part of doing this was to say, network with your colleagues, one. Secondly, do know who is in the space. If you're struggling with something and you realize that perhaps the facility manager in another department is well knowledgeable and they're able to get things moving as well, you can go there and ask for advice and so on. So it's just in part of, you know, in terms of, you know, making sure that there is knowledge sharing and lessons learned in this space. So, Chairperson, what we did is after concluding the roundtable report, just on the consultation and the engagements, we did share the report of the roundtable with the chairperson of the portfolio committee on the 16th of May. And we are happy that today we got an opportunity to go through the report and look into the findings. So we did share with the new minister of DPWI. Actually, we tabled the report to him. We took him through everything, the findings, and there are some commitments I need to indicate, as Commissioner Makanya has said, that the DPWI is coming on board. Safe to say that we will need very strong monitoring from the PSC, from the portfolio committee, to see whether those commitments really they bring us to a level of fruition and change in terms of the challenges that have been identified. We tabled the report to the Governance, State Capacity and Institutional Development, DG Cluster. As you'd be aware, all the DGs are affected by this matter of functional accommodation, and they were very much appreciative of the fact that PSC has taken this matter on board. And there was a lot of commitment as well from the DG Cluster to support the Commission in terms of implementation of the recommendations. The same applied to the FOSAT, the Forum of South African Directors General, where we tabled the report. I must say that it's twin projects, actually. Is this one on functional accommodation? The other one is on the ICT of government, which we did with the CETA, the State Information Technology Agency. So the FOSAT was quite appreciative of this kind of work that we have done, and they also committed again to say, once DPWI has put an implementation plan in place, there will be a task team that will be developed, established rather, to make sure that it assists to deal with the issues that requires implementation. And on the 5th of October, again, we got a second bite to engage with the minister and his team at the DPWI, and that's when they presented the implementation plan in terms of their recommendations to the PSC. Now, I'm going to go through now the findings of the roundtable, and if you look at that, we categorize this into four main areas. Firstly, it was the issue of poor list planning and management. Secondly, lack of joint procurement planning and management, inefficient financial planning, inadequate capacity and processes within the department. So, Chairperson, as we look into this, we'll also, in a slide, provide what are some of the responses and the solutions that we agreed into in the roundtable. Obviously, the details are in the report. So on poor list planning, management and condition of assets, the one thing that is really a biggest problem in the space of DPWI is lack of communication and consultation with line departments in the planning and management of lists, which leads to poor decisions. This might look like a very simple issue, non-technical and so on, but what we found is the biggest frustration that was raised by officials was that we don't know who to work with in DPWI. Today you work with this person, tomorrow you work with that person. Today you agree on this, tomorrow this story has changed. So it also points to lack of project management from the department in terms of how they liaise with their clients, in terms of how they do their work. So it's the biggest problem and the biggest frustration that really came from the participants of the roundtable. The second issue is the poor specification of lists, such as the required emergency egress, security and information and communication technology that has been left out. So we all know that any building at this point in time, if it's not attuned to ICT, if it does not have fiber, if it does not have storage for servers, you know, and all those kind of things, that building is not going to be functional, because at some point data has to be captured in terms of what departments are doing, emails have to be written, communication, and so on and so on. So those are some of the things that we found that in the space of not providing proper specification for leases, then that manifested in that. But also again here, the issue is DPWI, but also departments, because as I said earlier on, those that are tasked with facilities management, they ought to have a better understanding of what services are we providing in the department, what kind of building will be more suitable, what are the specifications and so on. But also we're expecting DPWI as experts in this area to come in and say, if you are providing this kind of a service in a form of a clinic where somebody comes in, they have to queue, they have to have a shelter for the queuing. When they move in, there has a file management where their file has to be pulled out of the system. They have to, you know, so on and so on. So DPWI will have to be able to say, your specification doesn't meet your needs. So that kind of engagement and so on. Now, as we move on, the biggest problem now is the month-to-month lease arrangements at inflated rates due to failure to timely conclude lease agreements. We have seen this, and really it's to the benefit of the landlord more than anyone, where government is paying month-to-month leases because between DPWI and departments, we have not looked into the new space of our accommodation. We have not agreed on certain issues and so on. The non-enforcement of the leases resulting in maintenance needs of departments either not being addressed or poor workmanship, with the DPWI really operating on a run-to-failure mode. So contract management is an issue here. So when we have those leases, how do we hold the landlords accountable for certain things really that are not happening as per the lease agreement and so on? So those things are not taking place. And really it's a problem. Then you find government buildings that are not functional to support service delivery. Chairperson, we did indicate earlier on the over-reliance on the private sector policing of accommodation and the huge spending and on government. And one of the things really that we're saying here is that government must really consider building, managing and operating its own buildings. Since we are in the business of property, and do a cost benefit analysis in terms of what would be the savings for government, particularly in the space of real estate. There is a lot of opportunities there for government to really make money if you look into our property asset across the country. So some of the responses and the and solutions, we're saying that there should be shared lease planning and management processes that should improve communication between DPWI and departments. And maybe DPWI, that's what we suggested to them, that they need to subdivide themselves into various portfolios so that they are clear. But accountability measures needs to be put in place for those teams and project managers to account back to DPWI in terms of progress that is made, but also to account to departments so that we improve on project management. The maintenance schedules have to be put in place to prevent deteriorating conditions of buildings. The more buildings deteriorate, they become more difficult and more expensive to maintain. Where else, if we pick up things much earlier and we attend to them, it's easier. Regular monitoring of buildings for compliance with occupational safety and regulations. We know that we have seen around the country here and there certain buildings catching fire and so on. And it's really around compliance with occupational safety and regulations that the DPWI, their departments, but also the Department of Labor has to work together to make sure that certificate of occupations and regular inspections are conducted to make sure that these buildings are safe. As we move on, Chairperson, to procurement planning and management, what we're saying is that the procurement of facilities that are not fit for purpose due to inappropriate special provisions, layout and servicing. So this also is a problem. So we procure facilities. I think in certain areas we've seen when we conduct service delivery inspections that there would be an old house in the city center that is used as a clinic, and you that kind of environment was not meant, was meant for, you know, as a house and for habitation for family, not to provide services. But those are kind of things that we come across when we do other areas of work, to say that, you know, some of the facilities really are not fit for purpose. So it's going to be difficult in terms of the service delivery model of that department and the and executing the standard operating procedures, because we are operating in an environment that was not meant for that purpose. Non-resilient facilities that are unable to mitigate risks such as power outages and water cuts, resulting in service delivery disruptions and additional costs. So poor planning of construction work, appointment of professionals and contractors, and contract management that result in adequate specifications of construction work and poor quality and delays. So some of the things that we're saying here is that we need to strengthen lease procurement to ensure fit for purpose for facilities. We need to have adequate resilience planning and management of facilities to enable timely identification of risk. Our planning and management of construction work needs to mitigate against delays in the completion of projects and poor quality results. And we also need to explore innovative approaches such as mobile buildings or mobile units that are more cost effective and efficient. So last year, for instance, the Public Service Commission went on a drive improving service delivery that we call Citizens Forum. We went around the country and going to the far-flung areas where access to services is a problem. And we worked with various government departments, and we saw that the issue of mobile units as an alternative accommodation for providing services could be helpful, where departments such as Home Affairs, Social Development, the police and so on, we were able to go where people are instead of expecting people to come to us and provide those services and so on. So as an alternative, again, to be considered. Chairperson, on financial planning and management, the under expenditure of budgets by DPWI due to delays in processing accommodation requests result in overall reduction in budget allocation as well as payment of inflated rental fees. So I did indicate in one of the earlier slides how the financial management in that space is, but also just the overall audit outcomes, financial audit outcomes of the DPWI is something that doesn't look good at all. The lack of adequate utility planning and management, as well as non-payment of related charges by DPWI, resulting in cut-off services in departments. I think earlier this year and also last year, we have seen, particularly in the city of Tshwane, where departments such as police, National Treasury itself, National Treasury, I want to mention them, Water and Sanitation and Justice. These were some of the departments that were locked out. Literally, we had officials sitting out because rates were not paid, so on and so on. And this is between DPWI, the department, and the landlord. So those are some of the things, and it really disrupts service delivery. And we're saying inclusive joint planning, financial planning and management processes to mitigate against the under expenditure of budgets and payment of excessive rental amounts must be attended to. We need to improve utility planning and management, and including timely payment of charges for the buildings. And the last one, really, in terms of those findings, is the inadequate capacity and processes. This one, Chairperson, the other ones are very much technical and so on. This one might sound like it's the softer issues and so on. But really, if you look at it, the biggest problem lies in this slide, in terms of the leadership and instability challenges impacting on the strategic and policy direction in the DPWI. So things are agreed to today because there's an acting DG. Tomorrow, the acting DG is removed. We're dealing with another acting DG who has got no idea in terms of the arrangements and this and that. And also those that are acting are really not empowered fully as or compared to those that are in the positions to make the decisions that they ought to do. And that's one of the findings that we find around some of the studies that we do around leadership and management practices across the entire of the public service. But generally, it compromises capacity and skills and strategic direction and policy of departments when we have got this kind of instability. The property management entity, it's in the great business and funding model impacts on its basic functionality and responsiveness. I did say earlier on that an idea was mooted for a particular reason, that we have the PMTE as a self-funding institution in this space, but we have not really seen the results thereof of the PMTE in terms of that funding model, but also in terms of improving service delivery. The dearth of skills, I did touch on this one in that space in terms of architectures, civil engineering, and so on. It's very important that we have the right people, but the right people that are also brought in on meritocracy that are able to do the work and really help the department. And we're hoping that with the appointments that are pending in the pipeline, some of these things will also be addressed. The procurement of systems is unintended consequences of tendering the state with loss of technical skills to the private sector. I did mention that, you know, we are competing with the private sector, but also the culture, the ethos, the way of just doing things in the Department of Public Works ought to change quite drastically if we are going to see any improvements in that space. Also, the lack of ethical foundation manifesting in weaknesses in governance, accountability, maturity, thus rendering accommodation space susceptible to fraud and accommodation. We all know that the GIAMA has become a compliance-driven rather than what it was really intended for. And that is the act that is really driving the issue of functional accommodation in DPWI. And we say the core competencies such as procurement, landlord management, project management are seen as weaknesses and not as strengths. So if we go to the next slide, just around those ones that I've spoken to, we need to develop clear rules and responsibility with documented rules, policies, standard operating procedures, and including automation thereof to really assist the department in doing its work, to review and finalize the immovable asset life management operating model and related organizational processes and procedures. Refocusing accommodation provision to improve responsiveness and overall management. So maybe there is a thing that says DPWI works with departments, and therefore it's a back office matter. in reality is that the work of DPWI is not a back office matter, because it impacts directly on the citizens at the end of the day, because these are the people that are coming to service delivery sites, interacting with Home Affairs, interacting with police and this and that. And the unfortunate part is that when citizens are frustrated with the department, they look at that department and they forget, or rather they don't know, that actually the Department of Home Affairs is more concerned about issuing an ID, issuing passport and so on. Infrastructure and those kind of things have got a policy department that has been established to do that kind of work. So DPWI has to understand that they've got a very critical role, not only to support departments, but also to support the entire value chain. Redesign internal business processes with appropriate accounting structures, including the fixing of the asset register, is very important. Implement the DPWI processes and systems. They have got the Archibus and the Sage, and make sure those are the ICT systems. But those ICT systems have to make sure that they really cleaned up and automated, and they work to support the work of the department. So we also have a slide, Chairperson, on the key principle for solutions approach. It's a bit of a difficult environment. The one of the DPWI is not an environment that you can just go in and say, do this. And I think they do need some assistance. They do need some hand-holding and so on. So what we're saying is that prioritization of key issues such as the development of cost plan and plans to address maintenance backlog, standard operating procedures, and sharing procurement strategies is important. Building on existing good practices, systems, and capacities. Also learning really from the provinces that we invited and many others that were not there, in terms of acknowledging what are some of the limitations of the department and the existing capacities and addressing them. Setting out targets, making sure that these are very achievable, define processes and procedures, develop effective systems and structures, ensure culture commitment, strengthen the capacity of role players, both internally and externally, ensure strategic and operational process, training processes that are carried out jointly, include checks and balances, that progress is maintained, ensure that there is a culture of learning and continuous improvement. Now, on the last slide, really, which is about the second last slide, which is really about the key recommendations and solutions. One, we are saying we need shared facility planning and management framework and processes. So the public service regulations requires the development of an implementation of organizational structure, business management process for improved service delivery. And we see an opportunity here for DPWI to really partner and work with DPSA to make sure that all those aspects of the public service regulations around improved service delivery are really attended to. Operations management framework, as I said, standard operating procedures. This may sound like simple, soft issues, but these are the things that the DPWI is really struggling with. The organizational structure, capacity and systems within DPWI in collaboration with land department should address the organizational relationships, as I said earlier on, aligned with organizational diagrams and SLA. DPWI structure and personnel. So how do we assign dedicated project managers, senior managers to line departments? How do we make sure that we structure the engagement quite meaningfully with departments so we can monitor and coordinate engagement and also build capacity and trust? The last one being the organizational processes and procedures. DPWI should develop the OPPs to ensure that there is clear objective steps required to achieve results, and this must be explicit and well-defined. And for line departments, obviously, we need to include standards, workflows, procedures, checklists, and templates that are put in place to make their life easier. But what is also important, Chairperson, which we've indicated earlier on, is an opportunity to make sure that we really professionalize this space. So any person that is sitting in a department that is responsible for facilities, what are the basics that they ought to know when they engage with the landlord? Because in most instances, when they engage with the landlords are far ahead and far above them. So we are being taken for granted there. So, and the DPWI, when we engage with them, they saw this as an opportunity and they really accepted that it's something that they want to work on. On conclusion, what we're saying is that having presented today here, the report will be shared with the speaker for tabling, and the PSC will monitor the implementation of the recommendation based on the implementation plan provided by the DPWI. And we feel that these are very critical and transversal service delivery issues. We will have an engagement with the media on these matters. And where there are good practices that are coming through, we feel that the citizens have they deserve to know that work is ongoing, improvements are in place, and that they will start seeing a change in government in this space. And lastly, really, as my two commissioners has indicated, we really welcome the support of the portfolio committee and would appreciate ongoing oversight in terms of the implementation plan that's provided by the DPWI on the PSC recommendations. Honourable Chair, Honourable Commissioners, that brings us to the end of the presentation on this slide. This is the leadership of the Commission, both our commissioners at head office and also in the provinces. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, DDG. I now invite honorable members, if there are no other presentation or maybe concluding remarks from the commissioners. I now invite honourable members to interact with the presentation that has been given to us. On my side, I can see the hand of Honourable Trink, Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Sihlolo, Honourable Van Schalkwyk. In that order, honourable members, Honourable Trink, Honourable Siwisa, Honourable Sihlolo, Honourable Van Schalkwyk, Honourable Mjobo.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to appreciate the presentation by the PSC, but also to say that in the presentation and with many of the findings of the PSC, it's not new to us. The inefficiency in terms of lease agreements. We've seen this when we visited Telkom Towers, and the scope of the different lease agreements, some of it's been very exorbitant in terms of square meterage that has been paid. We raised this in our meeting when we did the site visit. We've also seen and raised on numerous occasions challenges with regards to the immovable asset register. Amongst other things. But Chair, my question here is, and again, I think that the PSC is spot on in terms of their quantitative and qualitative analysis and surveys and that they've actually done with regards to the Public Works and Infrastructure Department. But my concern and my challenge now, Chair, is now that we've received this particular report, who is going to be responsible for ensuring that the recommendations that the PSE have made are going to be followed through? What kind of system is going to be put in place to ensure that the challenges that we are seeing and that we see and we know of within Public Works is going to be rectified and that there's going to be a turnaround? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Trink. Honourable Siwisa?
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to everyone. Chair, let me also first and foremost welcome the report from the PSC. And as Honourable Trink has already indicated, these are some of the issues that we've been raising. And I'm afraid that the department is acting as if this is a department that was only formed in 2018. The only thing that was added to the department is infrastructure, but Public Works has been there. The only thing that was added is the part of dealing with infrastructure. And it's very disappointing that we had to come to a decision that we need. There's a need that has arisen that there should be a roundtable discussion as to how the department is faring to deliver the work that they are supposed to be working, to be dealing with. It's very disappointing. But Chair, there's a few issues that this is a clear indication as to why some of the departments, according to this report, some of the departments have decided that they want to champion their own infrastructure projects because of the system is collapsing in the Department of Public Works. They are not doing what needs to be done. If you can go to some of the slides, slide 4 explains all the lags that are there. And then you go to slide 8, it also it goes into detail. There's a lack of communication. So there is this thing of there's no communication between the department itself and the sister departments, which has led to some departments to say that, you know what, we can't rely on you. We want to do our own thing. The issue of lack of performance measurements that need to be put in place, it has also been highlighted here, which means that there's going to be a difficulty in applying or having consequence management. So the performance measurements that are there, they are not sufficient enough for the department itself to measure what they have done. And this is informed by the issue that there's a lot of acting positions. As the presenter has just alluded now, there's a lot of lacking acting positions within the department. Yes, it's true. Today you speak to this person, tomorrow you speak to another person, which raises the question as to if a new person comes in, does the new person actually sit down with the staff to find out where were you, where are you now, what needs to be done in the next, in order for anybody who calls in, they should be able to be given the relevant questions. A lack of this, lack of agreement. You agree with person one to say this is what you are going to do. A new person comes in, that person is changing whatever agreement is there, which also shows that there is a lack of performance within the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. And this thing of difficulty in applying or in having consequence management means that it's going to drag the disciplinary hearings because of you don't know actually who are you supposed to blame for something that is not done because of there's a change of personnel each and every time. And this is something I want to say. These people that are being chopped and changed, why can't they be absorbed into the system? Because these are issues of day to day. You can't just bring a person in and then tomorrow you change, you bring another person in. Why can't these people be absorbed into the system? They must be there to be dealing with certain specific issues that are there. And because of those issues of acting, which means that this is also something that was mentioned in slide 4, the inappropriate organizational structure. If your structure is not in place, then there's nothing you can do because you don't have a solid structure that can be actually be held accountable. That is where you find that people are doing as they please, and then the hearings that are supposed to be, they are supposed to go to, they are being dragged. Some of them even go to such an extent to resign before they can be held accountable, which is not assisting the department itself. Another issue that was raised is the percentage of funds that were spent for work to be done, but there is not sufficient support of as to where the funds was, why the funds were spent. Money was spent, but according to the AGIS report again, which was also mentioned here, because if you look at the AGIS report and you look at the roundtable discussions and the consultations, these two reports almost go hand in hand, Chair. And it's a great concern. And I'm hoping, because some of the things are things that we've been raising as a portfolio committee, I'm hoping and praying that the department is going to use from the AGIS report to the PSC report that they are going to utilize it and get their house in order. Because if they can, if they cannot take the advice, because we've been trying to advise as the portfolio committee members to say, this is what needs to be done, but some of those things, they are not done. We saw with the HS report. Now it's also mentioned after the consultations and the roundtable discussions with the different provinces and the different departments to say, most of the time we were on the right track. If they do not get their house in order, we are going to find ourselves with a department that is just there for the sake of being there, and some of the sister departments have already lost faith in them. So I'm hoping and praying that they are going to take the advices and the solutions that have been presented today to say that we are going to utilize this, we are going to get our house in order, we are going to do what needs to be done in order for us. Because one of the issues, yes, buildings are dilapidating because they are not being maintained. And we were once told that we are going into private partnership because of we want to lease our building so that whoever is leasing the building, they'll be able to do maintenance. And then after a certain period of time, we'll be able to claim our building back. So one would ask the question, is the department deliberately leaving the buildings to deteriorate with the hope that they are going to lease them out and somebody else is going to come in and maintain those buildings and then come back, whereas there is money that has been put out there? It also raises the question of maintenance of our buildings, already those that are under them, not the ones that are being leased privately or the ones that they've leased out to other private companies. So it's a lot of things, and I don't want to go. Whatever issues that I've left out, I think my colleagues will be able to elaborate on some of the issues that I left out. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sewisa. Honorable Sikhalo, is he still in the meeting?
I am here, Chairperson. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Chairperson, like my colleagues before me, I would also like to take the opportunity to welcome the presentation by PSC in as far as the discussion around the functional accommodation by DPWI is concerned. Chairperson, I think just to emphasize on Honorable Thring's first point in as far as I would put it in terms of the methodology to monitor the recommendations that have been made by the Public Service Commission. I would perhaps also like to have clarity on how they intend on making sure that they will be able to go about making sure that these recommendations are adhered to by DPWI. Chairperson, Honorable Sewisa has said quite a mouthful in as far as the state of DPWI is concerned and PMTE in as far as their management of their immovable assets is concerned. And I want to indicate, Chair, that you would recall that one of the first issues, or some of the first issues that I started raising within the portfolio committee, were the issue of abandoned DPWI buildings and land parcels that are being illegally occupied, that are creating havoc and menace to residents because of criminal elements that relate to their illegal occupation, land parcels where informal settlements have formed. And I've raised these issues because I understand the significance and note the significance of why it is important for security, for example, to be provided to vacant DPWI-owned properties. When we spoke about Circular 135, and it was provided and presented to us by the acting DG as per her commitment in the meeting that we had on the 7th of June this year, we were excited because it was a step that would allow private individuals, businesses, South Africans in general, to be able to then make submissions to DPWI on leasing out their own properties across the country. You remember, Chair, as well, in the meeting that we held about 2 weeks back, to a few weeks back, if I'm not mistaken, where the acting DG indicated that with respect to that particular circular, what they've done is, as a department, they are allowing themselves to actually then deal with requests that is with the department as it stands, and that they're not going to open it up again, which is a problem because we were promised that we will receive then the properties, land parcels that would then that are on the table of DPWI for purposes of leasing and processing and so forth and so on. But we have not received those particular properties, and as such, we are unable to actually confirm whether there is any validity in as far as that particular circular 135 is concerned, as far as the opportunity for South Africans to begin to then lease out those particular properties. Chairperson, I've made a number of examples of these particular properties and land parcels during the portfolio committee meeting. And I highlighted the fact that these are low-hanging fruits for the department. If you go to Excelsior Court in Berea, Durban, an 11-story building, you will be able to realize why this particular presentation and that of the AG, as highlighted by Honorable Sirisa, are so important and significant to the Portfolio Committee and to the department, because they do not say anything outside of what the Portfolio Committee or members of the Portfolio Committee have raised consistently, as per Honorable Sring has also highlighted. You will recall also, Chairperson, that during a budget vote debate on Parliament, the Speaker of Parliament indicated that she would like to see an amendment to GIAMA so that the Secretary of Parliament can actually then be responsible for all Parliament assets, including Parliament, parliamentary villages, and the other the recreational facility in Fenwood that is also Parliament's asset. For us, it raises the question to say if the Speaker can be able to go and say that there is an amendment that is needed to GIAMA so that the Secretary of Parliament can then be responsible for these particular assets, then it begs the question, what is it that DPWI is doing in order to make sure that they're able to also secure these particular assets of Parliament? And we can talk about the Parliament fire, we can talk about the state of parliamentary villages and Fenwood as a recreational facility and all of those other things. This is precisely what the presentation highlights. It is precisely what the presentation labels as the department being unable to manage these particular assets. The other issue that has been highlighted, and Honorable Sirisa also touched on this, is how it is impossible to actually be able to get assistance from DPWI. I mean, you go to KZN, for example, and in relation to issues around justice and correctional services buildings. You speak to somebody else today, tomorrow that person has changed. Now you need to start your story all over again. And there is just no way, shape or form that there is staff members that are dedicated and committed to dealing with certain issues in order to be able to resolve challenges that are facing the department and PMTE. The consultative and coordinating nature of the department, as highlighted in slide 9, is indeed questionable, because the department has to coordinate. The department has to make sure that client departments have got accommodation that is able to provide services to South Africans. And the fact that, as indicated also by the AG, that there are client departments or sister departments that want to take over their own accommodation and all of that is an indictment on the department in itself, because it does actually then confirm that the department has failed over the years to actually implement the concerns that have been raised both by the AG, by the Public Service Commission, and most importantly by members of this particular portfolio committee, who conduct oversight in many parts of the country where we bring these particular oversight reports to the relevant department. I mean, we've submitted in April already issues around Waterloo Green, issues around Rustwolf Shooting Range in the Northwest, issues around Tuivasa Kloof, issues around Volmansdal in Swan. And we have not received any feedback from the department in as far as that is concerned, to say we even acknowledge your communication in as far as this issue is concerned, and the department will as such provide dedicated staff members who will be able to deal with this issue. Chairperson, it's a sorry sight to see an 11-story building, so that is Excelsior Court, in the state that it is in, and it is in a prime real estate position in Durban, and it is not generating any revenue for the department, and it is continuing to collapse with many of the metals in the building already being vandalized and being stripped bare and being sold for scrap to scrap yards. And I suppose, Chairperson, it's important to also for me to highlight the state of the Odendaals Rest Police Station in the Free State, where there is absolutely no way in which you can provide effective, efficient police services in that particular building. There is absolutely no way. And there is only one point of entry in that particular police station, one, Chairperson. And if that particular building was to catch fire, there are going to be very, very serious problems in that particular police station. And all of these oversights and all of these things that we say in this particular portfolio committee that are being confirmed by various presentations from various bodies such as AG and PSC should have been an alarm to the department. But it seems as if we find ourselves in a position where we have really an inactive department, where when the department has to respond to the committee, there are a myriad of promises that are made from receiving this to receiving that. And yet weeks go on end, go past, and we still need to write to you as the chairperson to say, can you please make sure that the department is able to submit this particular promise that they made during the portfolio committee meeting? Because that is tantamount to misleading Parliament, because we are, as a portfolio committee, an extension of Parliament. I think I'll leave it there, Chairperson, for now, but I do want to echo Honourable Seuss's sentiments that this particular presentation, including that of the AG, really, really paint a very bleak picture of the department as well as PMTE. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sikhlolo, Honourable Van Schalkwyk.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and good morning to Honourable Chairperson, our members, the representatives of the PSA, as well as our parliamentary team present. Also the departmental officials, we might be present in our midst. I want to echo the same sentiments, Chairperson, raised by the previous members in terms of welcoming the presentation, including the findings that has been made. It's really a point of concern, Chairperson, that over the past 4 years, we've echoed many of the sentiments that were raised in this report, and we've even made recommendations on how to remedy the situation. But here we find ourselves again in this conundrum, and it seems as if it's new, but it's not. So it's a point of concern, Chairperson, which leads me to, I think, the most important issue in this regard is the leadership and management instability that is again highlighted, as we've done continuously over the past 4 years. And it's an area of great concern, because you would find that there's agreements, there's commitments being made by people in acting positions, and then come the new people, they focus on other areas, there's other points of concern that they try to address, and that is taking us a step back in terms of ensuring that we find expectations in terms of recommendations and the challenges that we've raised. So we really need to know how far is the department in at least the appointment of the DG to stop this acting position, because I know that if it can start there, the implementation of the employment of the DG, things will really improve, or hopefully improve. So it's a great concern also to me, Chairperson, the finding that there are communication gaps between the department and its line department. And improvement on this area needs to happen with speed. So I want to know what is the plan of action to remedy this situation, and how does this impact on service delivery? There is a proposal by the line departments to utilize more innovative approaches such as the use of temporary modular accommodation to be explored. And those are issues we spoke about over the past few years also. And we really need to see a collaborative effort in terms of the department, its line department, as well as the entities, like the great initiatives that are available as in terms of AGRIMA, that they've been busy over a lot of years, more than 10, 20 years for some of those innovative ideas. And we really need to see that find expression in the day-to-day running of the department and its entities to really improve service delivery. Then, Chairperson, the PSC report noted the unintended consequences in terms of the procurement system, which led to the practice of tenderizing of the state, resulting in the state losing technical skills to the private sector, which were later sourced back at the high cost to the state, because it's skills that the state can't live without. But now we saw that some people find a way to try and exhaust the state in terms of getting more bucks out of the system, and that is a great point of concern. So I would like to know, Chairperson, where to from here. We've already made several proposals in the past in terms of a manner of retainment of staff and also inviting of new staff which are technically skilled, and we just have a problem in terms of retaining staff and all those kind of efforts, seeing now that we have this unintended consequence. So, Chairperson, another point of concern to me really is this thing of crime, and especially the theft and vandalism with regards to our public properties, and it's a problem right across the country. It's nationally, and we even find it in our own personal spaces. It's just escalating by the day. So my proposal will be then, Chairperson, that the department work closer with the law enforcement agencies to protect these properties of the state, and trying to find remedial actions on how best to deal with crime and corruption, with vandalization, and really bring syndicates to book, because we would think that it is only people who's loosely trying and an extra buck through this vandalization. But at the end, when we look at the high cost with regards to this practice, that's to the detriment of the state. We really need to look close at this issue and trying to remedy it and see how best we can cash in or benefit as the state. And preserving this properties, this assets for a long time, and not continuously going back and try and restore things, try and amend, buy things that we've already bought. So we really need to see an effort there. I think I'll pause there, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Fanskal. Honourable Njobo. Honourable Njobo?
Yes, Chair. My apologies, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Committee, and I would like to welcome the report. Just a one question to the PSC. There is an inspection conducted on the facilities on manually. So the department managed to conduct only 2,600, of which the facilities are 9,000. Now I want to know to the PSC that what is their advice on this one, if the department can manage to do the whole 90,000. Secondly, there is the issue of subs that there is buildings that is underutilized or overutilized. According to my understandings, we have a challenge of police stations. In fact, all provinces we have a challenge of we don't have police stations, of which on this report there is buildings that are underutilized or overutilized. If they can be specific of which provinces are overutilized or underutilized. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Jabo. Honorable Ching, I don't know whether it's an old hand or a new hand, the one that maybe something you forgot to add on your comments. Let me believe that it's an old hand. Let me add my voice in appreciating the report that was presented to us, and also in support of what my colleagues have said, that some of the issues that we have raised in the report are issues that, as the Portfolio Committee, we have raised them several times with the department. The fact that the departments now want to do their own infrastructure independent of Department of Public Works and infrastructure, it's really a challenge. One of the things that we have agreed as the Portfolio Committee is that the department has a potentially to do these things. But I think one or two things you have highlighted in your report, the lack of communication, the time delays that are done, whether deliberately or not, and a lot. You have raised a lot. And I think I may share this. We were discussing this yesterday with another colleague from the Portfolio Committee as we're coming out of the plenary yesterday, saying that this report is in fact saying what we have been saying all these 4 years in this Portfolio Committee, how the department is failing the line department. But I would just want to ask just a few questions as you were doing your report. So I want to check whether the line departments that were assessed by the PSC, do they have the user asset management plans, that is the UMs, in place? So were these UMs submitted to the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure as well as the National Treasury? Lastly, do these provide the user requirements on a timely basis? Because sometimes when we deal with the department will shift the blame to the line departments or the client department. We, even as the portfolio committee, raise an issue that the department doesn't have a policy or an act that gives them powers, especially when it is the time for them to collect the fees from the line department. So we have been pushing them that they must finalize the Public Works Act that will give them if to bite the line departments when they are really not coming afore. So that's why I'm asking that do the line departments that you were dealing with do have the UMs in place? Thank you so much. Over to you, PSC.
Chairperson, I will request that our officials take the first bite, and then from our side as commissioners, we'll then be wrapping up. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Makanya. So the number of questions that were asked as well as comments, and we really appreciate those. So the issue around leases and square meters and so on, I think we just need to indicate that one of the things that we picked up when we engaged with DPWI is that at the time when we started this project, they had just finalized the RODA report, which they indicated that this is the report that now they're going to be relying on in terms of charges for square meters and so on, so that you don't have every landlord coming in and charging willy-nilly different prices and so on for a particular square meter of that is required for government. So, and that at the time they indicated that they have engaged with the landlords, obviously they were not happy, but the DPWI indicated that henceforth the use of, you know, spaces for accommodation will be adhered to in terms of the RODA report and the specifications for use of square meters. Now, the big question here again is who's going to be responsible for the implementation of these recommendations? Firstly, before one perhaps attempts to answer that one, it's we need to be aware that we are dealing with an environment that is a little bit difficult, and we did indicate some of the issues there, being the instability, being the capacity, mm-hmm. being the culture and the ethos and so on. So it's not an easy environment, and those things have to be worked on if we're really going to make progress. Mm-hmm. Now, firstly, the Public Service Commission, when it met with the minister on the 5th of October, they presented an implementation plan, of which we said to them the implementation plan obviously has to be also presented at the GISGIT and at the FOSAT, because those two structures are very much interested in this area of work. So you have got multiple structures here that would have the responsibility to make sure that these recommendations are implemented. The PSC is on the ground. We're going to be working with the GISGIT and the FOSAT task team in terms of making sure that the recommendations are implemented. But what we want to also appeal, which we think is very important, is the portfolio committee to really help us because of its mandate or oversight over the department, and how in terms of the systems one can think about, firstly, having some kind of quarterly reports where we interact with the implementation plan from the DPWI to see what is the progress. Obviously, some of the things can be achieved over a short term, others will be medium term, others will be really long term. And also, it is important that we don't just take the weight of the DPWI. We need to go to line function departments, and probably we might even prioritize to say where are the biggest problems in the public service where we really want to see the progress with immediate effect. And that we visit those departments physically to see on-site inspections so that we can see what is the situation now and what is the situation later. But that will also require those departments to also check up in terms of their requirements. Very important to this point is that we would request the portfolio committee to request the department to come and share the implementation plan with the portfolio committee so that they can also commit themselves to the portfolio committee in terms of the recommendations of the PSC, so that you don't hear it from us, but you also hear it from the department. So those are some of the suggestions that we can work around, but the PSC will have to work very closely with the portfolio committee, put all those systems in place, and to make sure that we are able to monitor progress. The issue around the roundtable, I think it's a very important one. It's supported. As I said, the issues of public works is not something that you can just resolve in one day. They're going to take far much longer. And with the treasury budget cuts and so on, it's going to be difficult, again, to maneuver some of the areas that needs to happen to see those results. Now, on the issue of devolution, departments are frustrated, and rightfully so, and are requesting DPWI to grant devolution for them to run with their own system of, you know, infrastructure and so on. But we also caution department, because this would require strong capacity within the departments to make sure that they are able to efficiently run with their own accommodation, maintain their accommodation, so on and so on. Not that it cannot be done, it can be done, but we're just saying to departments, make sure that you are ready, make sure that you then create a unit with people with the relevant skills, with the relevant capacity and so on to do this kind of work. Just an example, if you look at in another space, if you look at SARS, SARS runs all the filing and everything online. So they are not using CTAC. They requested at some point to say, we want to run with our own system of ICT in SARS and independent of CTAC. But what they did, they went back and they made sure. So SARS is an electronic environment kind of system. And they have invested quite a lot. If you look even lately, in terms of what the skills that they're requiring those skills that are in the IT environment, because they understand that our business is really around the filing of SARS, of SARS taxes and so on, and our modality is ICT. Mm-hmm. So when departments do that kind of a thing, we're really cautioning that make sure that then this becomes your core business of some sort. It's not just a support where you're going to leave one person, because it's going to create even more bigger frustrations if capacity is not there. On the issue of how perhaps we can, you know, look about the use of alternative accommodation and so on, it's an excellent idea. As I said earlier on, we need to be mindful that currently, when you look into the government access strategy to services, we have not really, way 1994 and to date, we have not really reached the majority of our people in the far-flung areas. You know, you've got now human informal settlements that are mushrooming left and right and so on. And those people, they want services. And if somebody can access a clinic in the urban areas, they also need to access a clinic within 5 kilometer radius because they're citizens of this country. So the idea of your temporary structures is a very good one, but also we need to leverage on the opportunities of ICT. We need to think with perhaps things like hybrid working arrangements, how we empower our citizens as well to access some of these services where a person does not necessarily have to be physically in the office, where we are making applications, we're making this and that, so that we can save the space. I think it's one thing that we also learned from the Western Cape. That is one thing that they're working on, to say we are saving a lot in terms of space for accommodation and leveraging on the opportunities of ICT and so on. So it's an opportunity there. And on the user asset management plan, departments do have user asset management plans. Now, the question is perhaps the quality of those user asset management plans. And secondly, as we said earlier on, the people that we have in government departments that are responsible for facilities, often they don't have a clear understanding of what business are we in. Well, how best do we deliver? What is the service delivery model? If a person was to sit and say, okay, here is my the client coming in. What is the client, first thing when they do, when they can walk in, what do they do? So this is how I structure my environment in terms of functional accommodation. When they live here, what is the next step that they do? So what happens there? So on. So understanding also the service delivery model, understanding the standard operating procedures. So in most instances, our colleagues are sitting there. The only thing that they know is just to check when the lease is expiring. It's just to liaise with DPWI, liaise with the landlord. But even in doing so, they don't have the much bigger picture in terms of the strategy of the organization and making use of accommodation as a tool to help the department to deliver. And that is the space we're saying to DPWI, please consider the fact that we could professionalize this space, and DPSA also comes in there because they run there's a branch that is responsible for service delivery, operations management framework, and those kind of service delivery improvement plans, and so on and so on, so that we bring our colleagues in there to understand that if I'm working for health and I want to run a clinic, it's like a restaurant. A manager of a restaurant knows very well that when a person walks into that restaurant, I welcome them, I sit them down. Somebody comes, they take an order, so on and so on. And this is how they walk out and so on. Mm-hmm. So we don't have that kind of thinking in government. And you find this case, sometimes we can't even manage just the queue. Mm-hmm. We can't even manage things, simple things like queue, access, flow of the queue, the access, and so on. And we see that in many departments, Home Affairs being and SASA offices and so on. And it's largely because the people that we have in-house who are supposed to manage this user asset management plan, who are supposed to understand the business of the department, the service delivery model, the business flow, and so on, they are not there. They don't even sit in management meetings to even advise, your management to say the things that we really struggle in terms of service delivery is how we make use of accommodation and so on. So, Honorable Chair, I'm going to stop that, and I'm just going to check if my colleagues wants to come in, and then we can go give over to the Commissioner.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Commissioners from the Public Service Commission and our DG. This is Carmen Dominguez-Wax speaking. I just want to add also in terms of the space utilization orders, I do believe one of the Honourable Members highlighted the concern regarding the department not having the capacity to complete the number of inspections required. I think the reality is where the suggestion that we would make is that we should undertake that audit, but the most important thing is we need to categorize the different buildings that we have. We have very large buildings, and then obviously, as DDG Matenjo has indicated, buildings that are much smaller. We need to really determine if some of these bigger buildings in terms of size are optimally being utilized by the departments that occupy the space. And I'd like to use the example of the inspections that we completed at the forensics science laboratories for the police, where we had a situation specifically at Silverton, where we have the geoscience building, which is next to the Silverton Forensic Laboratory, that is not being optimally utilized by the geoscience institution. And that space is so desperately needed by the Forensic Science Laboratory in terms of dealing with their backlogs and dealing with having the right size of building for them to effectively deliver on their services. And then also the challenges that the colleagues at the KZN Forensic Laboratories are dealing with in terms of the impact on the floods that they have in terms of the buildings there. We are not really making sure that these big buildings that are occupied by certain departments are still really the building that is needed for that department to deliver their service. As I've indicated, for example, geoscience, they have reduced their size and capacity in terms of human resources, but in terms of the building that they are utilizing, it is much, much bigger than what they actually need. So we know that the department have indicated that they are looking into how do they expand and prioritize the inspection
options, but also what the plan will be for at least three financial years, and prioritizing the decision in terms of once we've made an assessment to say that we need to move some of these departments out of these big buildings because they are the building is just too big for them. So I think that is also something that we can, through these different governance structures and as well as the portfolio committee, maybe assist the department, because we must say that there seems to be a little bit of a resistance for the department to approach some of these departments, like, for example, the geoscience, to have a discussion with them to say, look, this is a building that is fit for purpose in terms of your size, because in the bigger interest of the state, as far as forensic science laboratories are concerned, we desperately need the building to accommodate the Silverstone Forensic Science Laboratory. Thank you so much.
Well, that's it from our side. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, DG. Honorable Chair, honorable members of our portfolio committee, just to say that we have listened very carefully to yourselves, Chairperson, Honorable Thring, Honorable Siwisa, Honorable Siotlulu, Honorable Van Schalkwyk and Honorable Njobo. It's very clear to us that the issues that you've raised with us, you know, immediately say to us that we need to structure the work that we have to deliver to yourselves that is now over and above the interaction that we currently have. That is going to be outlining, you know, the quarterly meetings that we've had, both with the former Minister Patricia de Lille as well as the current Minister, Minister Zikalala, and their DGs, so that we can then structure them such that the report shows that these are areas where we've already begun to make some progress and giving a clear indication of what then they are going to be doing in terms of their own commitments. And that we then say, on the basis of our report that we've just submitted, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, that we then say, this is now the action plan arising out of this, together with the time frames. This is how the department has committed itself, that based on their own commitments, there will be areas of a short-term nature in terms of delivery, areas of a medium-term nature that is now in the next 2 to 3 years, but also areas of a long-term nature that is most probably 5 years and above that will then need to be taken care of. Both, as the honorable members have indicated, showing clearly how our report, together with that report that was delivered by the Auditor General, you know, show the manner in which work then begins to be undertaken in this particular case. We want to do that, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, in order for us to be in a better position, you know, to appeal to these specific concerns that the Portfolio Committee has raised, with a very clear understanding that the Portfolio Committee in this instance, you know, assist in ensuring that the monitoring part is in place, because we feel very strongly that there has to be these quarterly submissions within the purview of the Portfolio Committee in order to be guaranteed that work that has been committed actually indeed happens, because we are concerned about that honorable members are saying these are questions that they've been raising over the past 4 years, but there's nothing actually to show for it in terms of the work that has been coming from the side of the department. So it's meant precisely to ensure that we can then move on this pathway in a manner that guarantees that work does indeed happen. And then on the question of the site visits that honorable members have also, you know, clearly, you know, articulated in our interaction today, honorable Chair, honorable members, we are saying that from our side, it is necessary for us to document that in a clear-cut manner, show clearly the kinds of consultations that have to follow with those who are directly implicated, that is now the custodians of these specific properties, both at local and provincial level, but also at national level, with a view of ensuring that there are submissions that are going to be made, because you've already undertaken those kinds of inspections, you know, as our portfolio committee in this instance. It becomes very clear, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, that we need to work out on a new model, you know, of managing these state accommodation facilities in a manner that shows clearly how things begin to take off, you know, and within the context, obviously, of these timeframes that we've indicated. But similarly, that from our side as the PSC, that we need to also go ahead and conduct our own analysis of the organization's structure and capacity challenges. And then we'll venture in this instance on our own powers, you know, as PSC based on Section 1964B in pursuing this particular area of work. So, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, it's clear as well that there is much more that we have not necessarily raised in this particular space, primarily because there is other work that is currently underway on the question of the register of the properties, you know, that are owned by the state, both in the country but also outside the country. It's a huge portfolio, once again, so which appeals to the issues that Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, you've raised, to say that with these kinds of properties at the disposal of our government, there is no reason why we should actually be suffering in a manner in which we should, but at the same time, we should not necessarily be exposed in a manner in which we should and be taken an advantage of by the sharks in the property market, whereas we are the ones who are supposed to be in charge of this specific area. You know, renting out facilities that we need to rent out, disposing of those that we need to dispose of, but ensuring that those that we keep are fully functional, you know, and are fully occupied, so that that question of underutilization and overutilization of various properties can also be within reach, you know, not something that should be lying somewhere in a hidden kind of fashion. So these are kinds of submissions that we need to make, but we want to ensure that as our portfolio committee, there is that comfort that we would like to close this particular loop, so that we don't leave this particular area, you know, open in that sense of the word. So that's basically the commitment, you know, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, that we want to make from our side. But once again, to thank you, you know, for the time that you've afforded us as a PSC. Thank you so much.
Perhaps Prof. Commissioner Bakas, if she wants to add as well before we hand over to the Honourable Chair through you, Commissioner.
No, by all means, thank you.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Makania, and thank you, DDG. I think we've encapsulated it perfectly. For me, what I'm taking away from this session is the fact that there is definitely alignment between our qualitative research or presentation and that of the AG and our recommendations. And that speaks a lot for the credibility of the PSC's investigations and report. And I really want to thank the Honourable Chairperson and the Honourable Members for the support and the endorsement of the PSC's report. And I think, you know, for us, the main things are the fact that we will conduct on-site visits, especially raising or looking at those issues that we raised today and those particular sites. For us, it's also that quarterly meeting and that quarterly implementation plan to be string that ties both oversight structures together, that is the oversight committee, part on the portfolio committee, and ourselves as the PSC, and for us to monitor it together and make sure that the recommendations are being taken forward, very much like, you know, as we lead the ICT flagship, Honourable Members, we have an ICT flagship, and we got to the point where CETA brought up its repurposing document. And I'm really considering whether whatever we're doing and the recommendations and the way forward we are discussing today will take us towards building a capable and ethical and developmental state, because that is our common goal across the state, across oversight agencies, etc. So if we're going to look at building a capable state, we must look at the stability of the department. And the instability right now does not lead us to the goal of a capable government. And obviously, looking at the HR practices, etc., is very important in that respect. In terms of building an ethical state, well, we've got to start to deal with all those challenges that we have and the allegations of corruption and the monopoly by certain building owners of sites, because as I sit in Pietermaritzburg, I can tell you right now, honorable members, that most of the buildings that are leased to the government are owned by one particular Muslim doctor. And we've raised it with the national minister. So we worried about also, you know, capitalist monopoly of this as well. And then obviously to deal with a developmental state, what is clearly required right now is a new model for managing state assets. We can't run away from it. We have tried, we have worked a model. The model is not quite giving us the results we want. And there is time for us to now review and rework a new model. And if we work along those lines, we will move towards the goal of a capable and ethical state. Thank you, Commissioner Makanya.
No, thank you so much, Commissioner. Honorable Chairperson, we then hand back to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Commissioner Prof. Makanya. Honorable Sitala, I don't know whether you have a follow-up question, or let me invite members to have follow-up questions. I can see your hand, Honorable Sitala, over to you.
Chair, I don't have a follow-up as such, but I did want to appreciate the responses from the PSC colleagues. Just something that I saw at the end of the presentation in terms of the structure of the PSC, and just to ask those three vacant positions in those provinces, whether those are still vacant, and if they are, when is the intention to fill them, and whether there's been any work that has been able to be done in those provinces despite those particular vacancies. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sisala. Before I just round up, I think DGG, this is coming straight to you.
Perhaps, Honorable Chair, I can answer those the question that has been raised by Honorable Fiatlulu speedily.
Okay.
Just to say that those are vacancies that we currently have. But the work actually is proceeding regardless. In the case, for instance, of Northwest Province, that much as I serve at the national office, I was requested to serve there as a caretaker commissioner so that there is no void while the process of the appointment of a new commissioner is underway. Similarly, in the case of the province of Mpumalanga, that Commissioner Sigonya, who is a resident commissioner of our province in Limpopo, is also serving as a caretaker commissioner of Mpumalanga. And then the province of the Western Cape is a recent development, you know, where our former commissioner's term came to an end last month. And at this point, Commissioner Sizani, who is the commissioner of who's resident in our Eastern Cape province, has also been asked to serve as a caretaker commissioner of Western Cape. So the work is underway. Appointments from these provinces are also underway. I mean, we do acknowledge that there are delays, for instance, in the case of Northwest. It's been vacant from February this year. In the case of Mpumalanga, it's actually almost 2 years already. The only one that is fairly recent is Western Cape. So we are very hopeful that those appointments are going to be concluded, because they are handled by our legislatures. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Thank you. Prof, let me again appreciate this detailed presentation done by the Commission on these challenges facing the accommodation of line departments, especially those focusing on service delivery. The reality is that with the challenges that are there in the accommodation, they also still to the issue of service delivery being compromised. I think we have all heard the issue of the police stations, the issue of the clinics that are not conducive to do what they are supposed to do due to the challenges of accommodation. As a portfolio committee, we will continue raising our voice to the department to take these recommendations that you are bringing as the commission seriously to effect these changes that the line departments also are proposing, because we believe that Public Works has a potential. It just needs to tighten its operations, and as such, it can deliver world-class accommodation to all the departments in South Africa. Of course, working with the line departments, ensuring that everything is done in time, and where it needed to be, consequence management has to be done. We appreciate also having such an institution that is fighting corruption, that is supporting democracy, that it is also providing its function that it is there for. We really appreciate this. And the fact that your report is aligned, as it has been said by other members, to the report that we received from Auditor General when it was presenting to us its findings and the outcomes of the department and its entities. It shows that really there is work that is being done by the institutions that are there to support democracy in our country. Continue doing the good work, Commissioner, and your team. We really appreciate this. We will take it forward as the department, and we'll always support you whenever you want support from the portfolio committee. With those words, then we will then release the commission, the commissioners, and the team. Thank you so much for your time, and then deal with our second item in terms of other agenda. Thank you so much, Prof, and your team. We look forward to working with you, and even on the hearings that you said that you will be doing, we will gladly accept as the portfolio committee. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chair. Thank you to your honorable members. Thank you.
Yes, Honorable Chair. Thank you, honorable members. Goodbye.
Thank you. Lwazi, the second item is the confirmation of the previous minutes, of the minutes of the previous meeting. Honorable members, in the meeting that we held last week, when we were about to confirm the minutes, we find out the minutes with the Office of the Auditor General, they were not there in our package, and we agree that we will defer them to this meeting. So we will start with the minutes of the Auditor General. Are there any corrections, amendments? Honourable members, if there is no such, can we then have a mover that these minutes are the true reflection of what we discussed and deliberated on when we're dealing with the Auditor General.
I will move for the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you, Honorable Sixolo. May I have a seconder, please, Honorable Members? Honorable Members? Honorable Shing's hand is up, and I believe it's a legacy hand. It's not the hand that... Honorable Mjobo? Honorable Matebula?
Chair, apologies for the legacy hand. Move to accept, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Shing. Honorable Shing, second. Honorable Sixolo. So we've dealt with this minute. May we then have the minutes of the meeting we held last week, in which we were to adopt our budget review and recommendations report, BRRR. So for these minutes, may I then have a hand that would like to correct spelling, grammar, or amend these minutes. If there is no such, may I then have a mover that we adopt this minute as a true reflection of what we discussed last week?
I move, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. May I have a seconder, please?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Those minutes are then adopted as a true reflection of what we discussed on the 18th of October. Honourable Members, on that note, thank you again for your deliberations and when we were discussing the report from the PSC. The reality is that what that report is showing is that we are on the right track as this Portfolio Committee, because all the issues that are contained in the report are the issues that we have continuously raised with the department, especially when it comes to its issue of the property management, when it comes to its issue of accommodating the line departments and how it deals with the issues of accommodating those line departments. So may we continue doing so, playing our oversight role, ensuring that the people of South Africa know what is happening in this department and play the role that we are given by the Parliament to ensure that everything is done in a proper way. So I think we need to appreciate that whatever that we are saying is also seen by other institutions.
Okay.
Honorable Sisala.
Apologies. I just wanted to ask quickly, did we have any representation during the meeting from the department?
In today's meeting?
In this meeting, were any members of the department in attendance?
I didn't see any.
Okay, it's not a problem, Chair.
Okay, we will follow that up. Honourable Members, today we will be asking and doing follow-up questions with the executive as this Portfolio Committee. So definitely we will see each other in the plenary, because it's our time to ask questions. So all the best to those that will be asking questions, and they will be doing follow-up questions to the executive, in fact, to the Minister of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. See you in the plenary at 3 o'clock. Thank you, Honorable Members. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, Chairperson.